John Boy Media has a new teammate. It's iHeart Podcasts. What does it mean? John Boy Media shows can now be found over at the Dan Patrick Show. That's right. How cool is that? Wake and Jake and Jimmy's Three Things have joined the iHeart Podcast and Dan Patrick Show family. And the best part, they'll still continue to be the same shows you know and love. If you couldn't tell, we're excited about this one, and thank you guys for listening.
Welcome back to the Compound Podcast. This is episode 71, and Dakota's eating a crumpet. Dakota, tell us a little bit about your morning breakfast here.
Wait, Dakota, before that, can you tell us what the Compound is presented by? I forgot.
Parfait rum. It's fantastic rum. Every time you buy a bottle, you plant a tree.
Plant a tree. Save the forest. It's really important.
I'm currently eating a crumpet. We went to Trader Joe's the other day because I take care of my body. Body's a temple, you know. And I saw English muffins and then I saw crumpets and it had like the British flag on it even. And I was like, well, I think I got to give these a shot. It's like a half.
Show me the crumpet.
It's gone.
Is it a pancake?
See, it's to me, it's like a half a pancake, half an English muffin. And then I got some like super fruit preserves on top, you know. It's really good.
Body's a temple, huh?
It's like moist and
You're just built different.
It's delicious. I got a glass of chocolate milk to go with it too.
Well, a lot of stuff has happened in the last week since we were together.
Ian, nope. Real quick. I got two birdies when I golfed on Monday. Are you proud of me?
Super proud. What'd you shoot?
I shot a 91 still, but I had two birdies.
Two great holes.
Yeah.
So it'll keep you coming back. We, on Monday, we went and played golf outside of Colorado at one of the coolest places I've ever been to. And I shot one over with maybe 4 3 putts, maybe 5. It's craziest greens ever.
You start putting with the wedge?
Nah, I cleaned it up towards the end. I just had to get a little bit more creative. Zach, did you play golf the other day?
Yeah. I wasn't really thrilled because we played we had 7 people going and there was nobody out there. So we kind of just played together, but we played the first 2 holes separate and I was pure like nasty. And I was like, oh, I'm locked in. And we get in a 3rd hole. We have this thing as a team, like you play for the belts, like you have a partner and like you can claim the belt. You know what I mean? Like a big wrestling belt, you win it. And they're like, all right, this one's for the belts. So that means you play with a partner. It's a fucking scramble. So I didn't even keep a score.
You don't like playing scramble golf?
No, I don't.
That belt sounds sick though.
It is sick. It's awesome.
Yeah, no, it sounds really cool. Man, I wish I could have played for it.
You do belt after every game too, if you win.
Yeah, that's sick.
Hitter pitcher.
Sounds really cool.
Sorry, we have fun. Ever heard of it?
No, I'm being serious. It sounds sick, man.
Does it say Go Tigers on it?
No, it's a bad motherfucker on it.
Oh.
Were the Go Tigers the quietest team at the deadline?
We made one move.
Daniel Norris, here you go.
Daniel Norris.
Where do you get traded to?
He was a little sad. He had some waterworks.
Yeah, dude, he's been there forever.
He hasn't been there forever. He was with Toronto. How long has he been there? 4 years?
6 years, maybe? 7 years? 8 years?
We're going to have to get the research team on that because I'm going to say he was only there for 3 or 4. I'm going to say his first year was 18.
No chance.
I'm with Zach on this one. I think it was like 16.
I don't think he would have been too beat up if he was there for 3 years.
He was first year with the Tigers was 2015.
Ooh, sorry, Ian.
Damn it. When was his?
Just knowing your teammates.
He was with Toronto first, right?
Yeah, when he was young.
14 and 15 with Toronto.
Yeah, that was his first team.
Damn. Good for Daniel Norris.
Speaking of trade deadlines.
Yeah, Tuffy.
It was an absolute bloodbath out there, Ian.
Bloodbath. It was tough couple days. I think we moved 9 guys. before the deadline, and I think we moved 7 on the day. About as hard as it gets.
You know what it is? It's rude sending Kimbrel and Taparas to the White Sox.
Yeah.
It's rude for the Go Tigers.
Yeah, but the Kimbrel trade was the only good trade, I thought. It was the only one where I thought they got, like, back what someone was worth.
Big league talent?
Madrigal and whatever that other guy's name is.
Cody Hewer.
He's nasty. That guy.
He's nasty.
Yeah, he's really good. Good guy, too. The one thing that's good about going to the White Sox is you don't have to move, and that's, like, really great for both parties. Like, guys coming here, guys going there. When you don't have to move and you can maintain your housing and you don't have to completely uproot yourself, like, that's fantastic.
That is true.
Isn't Madrigal out for the year?
He is. Torn hamstring.
Off the bone. Yeah.
Also, him and Nico are boys, though. I was just going to say, real quick check-in, how's Nico doing? Don't break HIPAA, but how's he doing?
Yeah, no, he's doing good. It's, you know, it's a core injury, so those take a minute. But
so I was talking to him the other day, and he was saying he has, like, less than 600 professional at-bats, including the big leagues. And he has, what, a year and a half of service time, plus actually more.
He'll have 2 years plus some.
And right? He has less than 600 at-bats.
Yeah.
And we were just talking, and he was like, yeah, you know, I've been through a lot, but I still haven't even played, like, a full season.
Yeah, I mean, it is crazy. Like, he's going to be pretty lucky to get – he won't get 300 at-bats this year, right?
No, I doubt no chance because he missed this is his third time on the DL?
Second time on the DL, and then he missed the first month in triple ball.
Right. I thought he went – no. This
is at the alt side.
This is his third time.
Oh, yeah, because he went when we collided and then the hamstring. You're throwing up the crumpet over there? Yeah, yeah. He's had really tough luck with injuries.
Dakota's done with the crumpet. Now he's playing the trumpet.
No.
We're in the middle of recording. What are you doing?
Sorry. I forgot to take my allergy pill this morning. If I don't take my allergy pill, it's an absolute shit show. And I just had to blow my nose.
Yeah.
All right. So hang on. So Rizzo was the first one to go out of the core, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jock and then Tapera and then Riz.
So
we're missing one. Chafin.
Great point.
Know your teammates. Come on, man.
So when he left, was it kind of just like, holy shit, this is really happening?
Yeah, I think that was the one that was most surprising. You try to prepare yourself for something like that. Like, you mentally and emotionally, you try to prepare yourself. You can't. I mean, somebody you played with, I mean, that was 5 years. You know, one of my best friends that I've ever played baseball with, like, I was a wreck. Waterworks everywhere. I couldn't hold it together. It's horrible.
Didn't you say you gave a speech?
Yeah, it was pretty, pretty amazing. A lot of guys were already on the bus because we were about to leave. And so I think he was up with his family and they called him back down. And then he was in Rossi's office for a few minutes. And we all kind of knew what was happening, but we didn't know what exactly it was going to be. And so then gets traded, waterworks everywhere. And then they bring everybody back down off the buses. And through tears, he's able to give like a incredibly professional speech about how hard the next couple months are going to be and how special the Chicago Cubs organization is. And how different it is to play in this city for these fans, and that the fans are still going to show up, and that it's important, just the effort and the, you know, learning for the next couple months, and just like still in that moment, he was thinking about the organization and the team and not himself, which is pretty crazy. But it was powerful. There's a lot of waterworks.
I said after seeing him, KB, and Javi in new unis, I thought Riz looked the weirdest. Like, Riz was the one that looked like, that doesn't, there's, that's not right. Well, like, yeah. I'm watching a video game where we traded someone.
See, that's how I felt about KB, because the colors are black. And I'm just like, that's not KB.
Javi looks literally, I'm going to be honest here.
He looks wonderful.
Kind of looks at home in the Mets unis. Like, it looks perfect.
Incredible.
Wait until he starts to get some of his own cuss. I bet he's wearing Lindor stuff. Wait till he gets some of his own stuff. Ah, no, he can't be. Those are New Bounds. I don't know what he's wearing, but wait till he gets some of his own, like, Nike custom stuff.
And then they got those black unis, too, that they're going to wear.
I cannot wait for Lindor to come back just to watch those two up the middle. They're going to have a fucking blast.
Absolute blast. It's going to be amazing. But Riz, see, he, with dark shoes on, like with navy cleats.
Yeah.
It's a bad look.
And then now he's just hitting homers and getting on base every single time he steps up to the plate.
Hits a homer every single time. I mean, for all of those guys to go out and hit a homer in their first game with the new team, you couldn't script it any better. You couldn't script it any better. It's unbelievable. And then Riz just goes off. I'm happy for everyone.
I saw a tweet that said, like, could you imagine a team that had Javi, KB, and Rizzo? Man, that team would be unstoppable if anybody could make that happen. And I was like, that's so fucked up.
I think it's just really, it's really difficult to understand the human element of how tough it is when you've been with a team for so long, you've had so much success, and you're playing to keep it together, and you're playing that – you don't know if everybody could get extended. You don't know if only one guy could get extended, but everybody's playing to be the guy that stays in Chicago or keeps the group together. Like, how taxing that is emotionally and mentally on everybody. And I think because nobody knew any different, there's a little bit of that fear of, like, what it would be like to be somewhere else. And this organization has preached for years that this is the best place to play, that every free agent that comes in here says it's just different in Chicago and it's the best place to be and you wouldn't ever want to be anywhere better or anywhere else. And, like, that's – fuck, if that's what it is, yeah, I want to stay here. Like, I don't want to go anywhere else that's going to be worse. Like, that sounds horrible. So that pressure of playing to be, you know, a Cub for life, I think, was really wearing on a lot of guys. And so to give them that freedom to get away and be able to – kind of have a couple months to experience something else, and I think it's going to help everybody.
Isn't it wild how KB goes from one of the biggest cities, like, baseball wise to maybe the biggest market, like, from Chicago to the Yankees? Like, I'm saying the Cubs
Riz? For KB.
Yeah, what'd I say? KB?
You said,
yeah.
KB.
I meant Riz, sorry. Like, I'm saying he plays for the second, maybe top three biggest market, and then he gets traded to the biggest market in baseball.
Yeah, I mean, he'll fit in great there. His family, he's a lot of family from New York area too. That's where his family is originally from. I think Jersey. But, like, there isn't a, besides Chicago, there isn't a place that he fits better. And so, the fans are going to love him.
When you guys came in and you saw that KB and Riz both were in the lineup, were you just like, all right?
No, because it actually was a scheduled off day.
And come on. Boing. Come on.
I swear to God, it actually
was. There is no way that you purposely schedule an off day for both of them to be out of the lineup.
And then both, either of them hit in a close game.
No way. Neither one.
What do you want me to say? Riz had asked, Riz. I don't know about KB, but I know that Riz's off day had been scheduled for a few days. He knew he was getting that off day multiple days in advance, and he talked to Rossi about it. So I knew that one. I don't know about KB, but
sure he did, man.
We're in the middle of a long stretch of baseball games. Yesterday was our first off day in, like, since the All-Star.
Yeah, 18 in a row.
Oh, shit. Let's go. I didn't know. I was checking to see if you guys played any of those three teams at home. You play the Giants at home in September.
Correct.
No way.
Let's go. That's going to be sick.
We'll get one tribute video.
We had a tribute video last night for Taylor Davis.
Oh, TD. I saw that he was – the mayor was back.
What other trades See, honestly, I don't even remember any other trades happening except the Scherzer and Trey Turner one because of how many, because the Cubs, it seems like every time I refresh Twitter, somebody else was gone.
But the Dodgers, come on.
And now they just signed Cole Hamels.
And then they signed Cole Hamels. Come on.
Who's a wonderful, beautiful person.
I mean, come on. You can't do that. Where's Manfred stepping in saying, hey, guys, that's way too much power right there.
I thought the funniest part is like a day or two later, it literally said like the Dodgers have activated Corey Seager from the 10-day IL. Yeah, like it's just – they got
Tom, can you tell us what the Diamondbacks payroll is, please?
The Diamondbacks?
Yeah.
Why the Diamondbacks?
Like $93
million. Because the Dodgers are going to play the D-backs at some point this year before the end of the year, and it's going to be like a $270 million payroll versus a $30 million payroll.
I mean, this is not taking a shot at them, but that's basically every time the Yankees play the Marlins.
Yeah.
That's pretty much anytime the Yankees play any team in the bottom 10 of payrolls.
Yeah, the Yankees are like two, but they're not 270. They're like two.
But how about the Yankees 30, 40. Trading for these guys, Gallo and Riz, and getting those teams to pay for their contracts so they could stay behind a luxury tax? I'm like, are we trying to help the Yankees?
I don't understand that one. I mean,
hey guys, we want to see you do really well, so we'll chip in.
I'm not a GM. But the other thing that I don't agree with, or the luxury tax is not. It's not a crazy cap. Like every team except for the Dodgers treats it like it's this like huge hurdle, and like we went over the luxury tax for 2 years. It's like the luxury tax, it becomes prohibitive if you're over it for 3 or 4 straight years, because then you start to lose draft picks and your taxes increase. But for the first year or 2 years, it's not prohibitive at all. It's a small tax on what is over the number. I don't think we should have it at all. I think it's ridiculous. But it's not that prohibitive, and no one should be talking about it like it's this huge victory to go over the luxury tax. And when you're competing with teams, the fact that the big market teams don't want to spend over $210-220 million, but there's also teams that are saying, we're good at 30 or $40 million on our payroll, it's ridiculous. If you're at the top over there where these guys can't push it over 200 plus million, then there should be no team spending under 100 ever.
Diamondbacks have a $94 million payroll.
94.
Bumgarner's taking up like $17 million.
Versus 270. They lost Escobar's contract too, so I don't know if that's like up to date since they traded him.
That's fucking... That is so Ian, much star power over there.
Ian, how weird is the locker room now? Because we noticed it even here in AAA, because we sent up 5 guys the day of the deadline. And it's like, it's just like a brand new team every day we walk in.
Strange. It's strange. It's just weird because you're used to seeing certain faces. And for years and years, you're used to seeing certain faces, same guys every day. It's been one of the best parts about being a Cub is that we've had so much consistency. And so to lose that, I mean, we lost 9 guys out of 25. 26. So to lose that is tough. But yeah, in 2 days, I went from, I don't know, being a Cub for a while, but not feeling like one of the veteran guys on the team too. I have the fourth longest tenured Cub behind Jay Hay, Carl, Kyle, and Willie.
Oh yeah.
You know, I'm, besides anybody who played on the World Series team, I'm the next guy for Cubs service time, which is
go bananas. Hey, be a leader in that locker room. All right, I need you to pick that voice up. Let's go.
It was pretty crazy to look around the locker room and realize that, and happened quick. But yeah, it's been strange. But we've been, you know, talking about how like the guys that are up now with us, and some of them having, you know, this is their debut or kind of their first time in the big leagues, like they deserve that, you know, that energy and that atmosphere of what it's like to be a Cub, and, you know, proper last couple months of their first season, not or some depressing clubhouse where everybody's confused what's happening.
Did you see the video of KB in post?
Yeah.
That was horrible.
I was right down. So the cage is right down the stairs. So I was basically, you know, everything happened. And then I went down and was kind of right down there right after that.
So when they do get traded, like, do they call them, like, because when Daniel Norris got traded, AJ Hinch came and got him. And we kind of had an idea because we saw his name just trending somewhere. And then he came back, obviously gave everybody hugs. But like when they were traded, was it the kind of the same thing? Like you see Rossi or somebody go and grab him and be like, oh, fuck, this is it.
No, it kind of depends on the guy. Like Riz came out of the office. But I think the other guys found out from their agents. Javi wasn't even at the ballpark yet when he got traded. You know, Kimbrel got a call from, I think, from Jed. I was with him around when it happened. I think his call was from Jed. And then, you know, I bet you KB's was from Jed too.
Did Javi come into the field at all?
Yeah, he did. Came in. He was there for a while until he got his stuff and got out. But if I was one of those guys, no chance I'm showing up before 4 o'clock. Just sitting in the locker room, stewing, waiting.
Right.
Yeah, I showed up that day at like 3.
Do they let you hit? That's like they're not going to let you hit, right? They're not going to let you do anything.
Yeah, I mean, you could get your work in, get loot. Like Kimbrel got traded and then went to the ballpark. Because we played golf that morning, so Kimbrel got traded, went to the ballpark, threw, worked out, and then flew back to Chicago.
Love that. No days off. No days off. Don't matter.
Was he on the golf course when he got traded?
No, we were on the way home.
I was going to say, you got to be really good to get traded when you're on the golf course, you know? I'll tell you what, those guys are just diamonds in the rough right there.
He did an interview, I think, in Chicago after he was traded, and they were like, you know, how'd you find out where was? He was like, well, I was, you know, hitting my drives right, pulling my irons left, and I had some 3 putts, so not a great day for me.
Knew something was off.
Yeah, exactly.
Is he Pierre?
Craig?
Yeah.
No.
Is he better than me?
Depends on the day.
Good matchup.
Yeah, I think you guys would have a good match.
Take his money. Tell him to put his wallet up.
Yeah, yeah, let's go.
We'll be right back to this episode of The Compound, but first, a quick word from DraftKings. DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but also America's top-rated sportsbook. Speaking of America, our top athletes are still over in Tokyo competing for the gold, and DraftKings has a medal-worthy offer just for you. You place any pre-event wager on $1 to be eligible to cash $100 in free credits if America wins any medal this year. That's right, 100-1 odds on an American athlete to stand on the podium and receive gold, silver, or bronze this week. 100-1 odds. Sign up now at DraftKings Sportsbook to get in on all the action. I love using the DraftKings Sportsbook. It's easy to navigate, plenty of instructions for new bettors, nearly limitless ways to get in on all the action. You know, everyone I know that's been using it loves it. It's really easy to use. I'm an idiot, so I figured out how to use it. You can too, and you're going to love it. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code COMPOUND when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits if America wins a medal. That's code COMPOUND, COMPOUND, to turn $1 into $100 in free credits for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Back to the show now.
There were some interesting moves. Like the Yankees have to go for it every year. I love that about the Yankees, but when I looked at where they were in the standings, I was like, ooh, they gotta play to get there.
It's like them and the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays got Barrios. I don't know. He might have one more year. But, like, they gave a lot up for him. And they were, like, 5 games out of the wild card.
His contract's got to be for more than just this year.
It has to, right?
It might be one more. But I thought him and Javi – because him and Javi are cousins or in-laws?
Yes.
In-laws. And – I thought they were on the same timeline, but maybe not. Maybe he's got one more year.
Yeah. Well, he has a third year of ARB next year.
Yeah.
Then he's unrestricted free agent in 23.
Yeah. So that makes sense. But, and especially because they're going to try to compete next year with that lineup. They're going to go get, they have, you know, they have Simeon. They have all the young guys. They're going to try to go out, and they got just signed Springer. Like, they're going to try to go out.
I think Simeon's a free agent after this year.
He was just a 1 year deal.
Yeah.
But I thought the Braves, the going after it was interesting too.
That was the weirdest one. They're not even like close.
They're close. The East is up for grabs. NL East is
kinda.
They might be. They're a few games back.
But I mean, like,
they just keep having pitchers get hurt. But if you know they're so Jock went over there, right? And then they keep losing outfielders, but now they have like five. They have Jock, Duvall, and Soler that they all picked up.
Yeah, I retract my objection. They're only 2.5 out.
Yeah,
I retract.
Hey, I talked to our first friend of the pod, Schwarber, yesterday pregame.
Oh yeah, how's he doing? How's his hamstring?
He was trying to big league Zach.
Don't break HIPAA.
No, yeah, he's good. He's going on his rehab, I think, this week.
Was he trying to big league you?
So I texted him yesterday morning, afternoonish. I was like, hey, like, you at the field, whatever. I didn't know if he was there at the facility rehabbing. And do you remember our mental skills guy, Ray Fuentes? So he's with the Red Sox too. So I was talking to him on the field before the game, and I'm like, we said bye, or whatever. I'm like, hey, by the way, Will, if you see – or not Will. Ray, if you see Schwarber, tell him to stop big-leaguing me. And then all of a sudden, I told Dakota, all of a sudden I hear, Shorty, shut the fuck up. And he just walks all the way up through the dugout. And we talk for a little bit. He's good, though. He's excited.
Yeah, I was with the day that he got traded, the day after. I was with Paige, his wife. Because we were in D.C. and we went to Lester's because Lester didn't leave for a few days after he got traded. So we were, you know, at Lester's with Fair and the kids, and Paige was there, and it was great to see her. But Schwarber already flew out, and you know they were excited. There's a lot that goes into that for the spouse with the move and packing everything up, and you know they don't have kids yet, but they have a dog and doing all that, which sounds miserable. Absolutely.
Is it going to be weird facing Lester in a Cardinals uni?
Extremely. It was weird.
Dude, facing I saw a highlight of him throwing yesterday, and I was like, that's not real.
Good golf, though. Maybe we'll play golf. There's some great golf courses in St. Louis.
Yeah, but it looks wrong. Like, I don't like it.
He just needs – unfortunately, he lost last night, but he just needs four wins to get to 200.
Speaking of milestones, Miggy, two homers away from 500.
That's going to be so cool. Wear a GoPro or something. Do something. Write a journal. Take a video. Do anything. That's going to be so cool. That's only happened, Tom. How many times has it happened in history? How many guys have 500? 20?
He would have at least 600 right now if he played at a different field. Like, not even close.
You said he had a 420-foot out the other day, right?
422 feet. For everybody out there,
so I saw Riz do it last year. It was horrible.
For everybody out there, center field at Comerica is 420 feet.
It's 27, Ian.
27 ever in the history of the game in 150 years. How many years the big league's been around? 110, 120, 130?
So within the last week, I've watched him pass Barry Bonds and Frank Robinson for hits. So
those are pretty good players.
Every day, our trainer has like a list in his pocket of milestones. So like I go up to him, like, hey, who are we passing today? And like the one day he was like, I think it was maybe doubles or extra base hits for Lou Gehrig. And I was just like, that's not real. Lou Gehrig.
He's passing all-time records. The funniest part about when you look at some of those records and like some of the people that they pass and like people they played in the Babe Ruth era is like the guys that played in the Babe Ruth era were literally only playing against white guys from the Northeast.
Yeah.
That's it. And you're talking about Miguel Cabrera, the hardest it's ever been to hit, passing, and everybody in the entire world is competing to play at the highest level. Doesn't get any higher. There's no higher level. And he's passing these guys from the 20s and 30s. It's bananas. That, and that those guys played for 20 years. Everybody played for 20 years. Every and there was only one starting pitcher that threw every day.
Every time this dude gets a hit, everybody in the dugout is just like, hey, we need that ball. Pass somebody. Here we go. Grab it. And the pitchers just have no idea what's going on. There's like, what? It was a single. Like, no. He just passed Ted Williams and Barry Bonds and everybody else who's ever played the game.
The authenticator's got a lot of work to do, huh? Oh, every time. He's got a handful of balls.
So the coolest part about the whole, like, Miggy, just watching him, because obviously more people are going to see if he can hit 500. So at Comerica, obviously you're in the dugout, you're right there. And when he's on deck, he's kind of over a little bit. And as soon as his name is announced, you can just see everybody in the background of him just stand up slowly when he's walking to the plate. It is literally the coolest thing ever. The other night he comes up on his 420 foot out. He had his bases loaded. We were down by three. And it was just like, holy shit, Miggy's up with bases loaded and we're down by three. Like, he's going to hit a grand slam.
Oh.
He hits it. So he, like, takes his bat weight off and everybody just, like, slowly rises together as he's walking to the plate. And I said to somebody on my left, I was like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life. I don't care what happens the rest of my career. That is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
And then he made a 420 foot out.
Yep.
Oh, you guys only got two more at home, though. He needs to either hit them both here or maybe go on a little cold streak, because I don't want him hitting it at the Prague or in Baltimore.
And the thing with him,
he'll do it in Baltimore. He's hit so many career homers in Baltimore.
He doesn't do it today or tomorrow. He's going to do it in Baltimore or in Cleveland. Sorry. The dude, you've seen Miggy hit before. Everything he hits is to right field, like right center on purpose. And Prague, you can go like this and it's a homer to right field. And he's just going to do that. The guy is literally a right. He's like a glorified Jeter when, like, his swing, obviously, like, inside out, I'm saying, like, he's trying to go to right field every single time and he just hits homers.
Zach, will you please tell Ian? So you're scuffling a little bit right now, right?
No.
Tell Ian.
Today's a new day. What are you talking about?
Tell Ian what you tried.
No.
What you hit. Please tell the story.
I will tell off air. I'm not giving.
Come on. It's funny.
Come on.
I'm not giving that person the satisfaction.
Don't say his name. Just say what happened.
I'm not.
I'll tell the story if you don't.
No. You won't. I'll tell you.
Come on. It's funnier coming from you.
I know, and I'll tell you after, as soon as we press done recording.
The fans are gonna hate you.
No,
we're not gonna say which one.
No, it doesn't. No, stop.
We can always cut it. Come on.
No,
true. We can cut it later.
Good content. Last night,
we can cut it. Come on.
No, last night, I was dying laughing telling this story. It's really good content, but I'm not doing it.
Well, basically,
no.
Zach gets DMs with hitting advice quite a bit. And let's just say, in his one at bat last night, he tried some of the advice out. He literally got a DM giving him hitting advice, and he tried it in the game and struck out.
What are you doing?
That's got to be an all-time low.
It was kind of like it worked into – oh, wow, what a cute dog.
Focus, ADD, come on, focus.
It's something that I've kind of also been working on. So it's like, oh, this is great. Like, this is exactly
what I'm talking about. Why are you reading your DMs where someone is giving you hitting advice? Why don't you just tell them to fuck off?
Because the guy said he was from Kingston. So I was like, he said, Zach, I'm from Kingston. And I was like, oh, I read it. And I was just like, what the fuck is this? Yeah,
and I coached 9U Little League. And I think that you should get your hands a little higher.
And he didn't just read it, Ian. He didn't just read it. He applied it to his batting stance.
In the big leagues.
I didn't.
You're your best hitting coach.
If I'm the best hitting coach, I deserve to get fired.
It's positivity. Positivity. All right. Can we move on just for a second? Because before we're done, I want to talk about the rules, man. I don't know if you guys saw this was a few weeks ago and I wanted to talk about it. We never did. When Manfred came out and talked about the extra innings rule and one other thing,
double headers,
7-inning double headers. Thank you, Tom. We haven't talked about this, right? Correct?
No,
we have not.
Okay, so one of the big on field topics for MLB is pace of play and but more pace of the game, not necessarily duration, but pace of the game. an action. I can't fathom why you would go away from two rules that have been implemented that work. There hasn't been one game in 2 years that has gone past 13 innings since the doubleheader, since the extra inning rule been applied, which has been great for baseball. It's been great for pitchers. It's been great for action. And I think it's exciting. I think you'll have your purist fans who just hate everything and are opposed to it. But everybody that is around the game and appreciates the action, I think really likes it. And also, 7-inning doubleheaders are glorious. 18 innings in one day is too much.
The best rule in baseball right now.
The best. And MLB wants to see starting pitchers go longer. In those games, you get to see starting pitchers basically finish the game. And most of the games that I've played in where you've had an ace, like, that guy's going seven or six. And maybe you'll see a closer in the seventh. But that's what the fans want to see, is from what MLB is telling us on their surveys. And you're getting that. And you're still getting fans to the ballpark to buy beer for seven innings. You're still getting two gates. Is that 2 innings of commercial sales or food and beverage? Is it that upsetting that you need to? Because no players want that. No players want 2 nines.
I'm telling you, this is all for the CBA. Like they're leaking this now so they can try to use it to bargain. Like, hey, we're gonna take away 7-inning doubleheaders if you guys don't agree to X, Y, and Z.
The craziest part of it is, like, they want more action, they want more pace of the game, they want more balls in play, less strikeouts, less walks. You know, they want more doubles, triples, stolen bases. They want more things that fans are excited about. Yet, going into this year, we couldn't get a DH in the NL.
Yeah, right.
We're watching pitchers up there hitting.
Yeah, because we can swing it. Because we can swing it.
You cannot swing it. You can't even find a helmet that fits.
You should have seen. Okay, real quick story here. Real quick story. I have to tell it. Joe Biagini is on our team. He is maybe the funniest character I've ever played with. Like, hilarious.
Funnier than Martini?
He's a completely different kind of humor. So he's hitting yesterday. First of all, I went 2 for 2 with 2 singles. So, yeah, pitchers can swing it. He was in the dugout getting ready to hit. All of a sudden, he just walks up with an Indianapolis Indians helmet on. And we're like, why is he wearing that? I was like, oh, like there must not have been a helmet that fit him. Nope. He just saw that in our dugout and was like, oh, this will be funny. I'm going to wear this to hit in the game. And he wore it to hit both at bats and got 2 singles.
That's incredible. What a player. Maybe Zach. Hey.
Try wearing a Red Sox helmet.
Yeah, I can go to Kike Hernandez tonight and ask him if I can use his helmet.
Did he nope. He pine tars the front, huh?
Yeah.
Maybe you should do that. Hey.
I have the sticky stuff on my helmet.
No.
Cheater. Cheaters.
Coat that thing. Cheaters. Come on.
Cheaters. No stick. Cheaters.
Coat that thing. Coat that thing for one night and see what happens. The big leagues. You can always get a new helmet.
But back to the rules. I love the extra innings thing with the guy in second, because I think it's intriguing to watch how teams go about it. Like the away versus home. I mean, that's where home field comes into a huge advantage.
You
literally see what happens. Like if you hold them to no runs in the top of the 10th, you might bunt that guy over to third and then be like, all right, we're a sack fly away.
And you can decide who you want to use out of the pen, because depending on who's coming up, you can bring in like your Kimbrel, who's going to punch 3 tickets and probably not give up a hit. Or you can bring in a, you know, command guy, ground ball guy, basically pitch on the first dude, walk him, and then play for a double play on the next guy. And now you're 2 outs made on third. Like there's a lot of strategy that goes into it. And things are happening. More runs are being scored in extra innings than ever before. There's not just guys going up trying to hit a walk off because scoring one run wins the game. Like it's very much a more exciting brand of baseball.
My only qualm is that intentional walks count against your walk total. And that's just absurd to me. Like when you put a guy on and that goes in the walk total, like, come on, it's strategy.
I agree with you.
I don't need that on the stats.
And nobody looks at, there's so little eye test now that nobody will look at your numbers at the end of the year and go, yeah, but I know he pitched around guys here and we know he's intelligent, so that number doesn't scare us. Like whenever anybody looks at the final stat line, they just go like, what's his walk percentage? What's his K per nine walk per nine? And you're like, well, but that's not.
A lot goes into that.
Yeah, that's not indicative of what the actual season
was. I mean, that's like the same for a hitter with like quality at bats. Like you ground out to move a guy from second to third and it's like, oh, that was a great at bat, but on the stats, you're 0 for 1.
Yeah, and it feels like there was a time in baseball where your stat line wasn't the only thing that was cared about when talking about how you were compensated or who wanted you on their team. And, you know, if it's, oh, this guy's really good at moving the ball, he'll get the runner over. Or, you know, yeah, this guy might have a lot of strikeouts, but most of them are 3-2 counts. Like he goes really deep in the count and sees a lot of pitches. So we're okay that he strikes out a little bit more. Like it doesn't feel like that. It feels like here's the raw numbers. Here's how you compare to the rest of the league. You either stink or you're good.
Yeah. 100%.
Anything else before we do screen time that you guys want to touch on? How's that crumpet?
It was very good. USA won the gold in Olympic men golf.
Xander
Schauffele.
Guy's incredible.
Did you see the two rounds? Rory Sabatini shot a 10 under on Sunday to get silver, and CT Pan shot like an 8 or 9 under to get into a 7-way tie for bronze, and then won the 7-way playoff to get a bronze.
I did see that there was a 7-way playoff for bronze. That's dude. We did. Oh, last thing, we had this argument in the clubhouse, and it came from Maples.
From Maples?
Maples.
Oh, where's this going?
How would you feel to get a bronze medal in the Olympics?
Fantastic.
Sick. Unbelievable.
That's what I said too. I said, it depends a little bit who you are, because like Michael Phelps going into Rio, like he's not, you know, he doesn't want a bronze, you know, he's competing for golds. But for 99% of Olympians, like you're the third best in the world.
So, yeah. Right. So that was Akil Baddoo's cousin was in, I think, long jump. She's in there and she made the finals and came in 9th. And he was like, not complaining, but he was like, damn, man, like she came in 9th. And he said that yesterday. And everyone's like, bro, that's 9th in the world. Like, yeah. The world.
In the world.
Bro, the world. Not like in your heat. The world.
You know what else is kind of crazy about the Olympics? Is like, if you're the 9th best basketball player in the world, you're making $40 million a year. If you're the 9th best baseball player in the world, you're making $20 to $30 million a year. If you're the 9th best football player in the world, these Olympians, it's like 9th best, man. Hey, thanks for coming out.
Literally. We'll see you in 4.
Yeah.
Golf-wise, though, it kept the tournament interesting. Like, you know, because typically in golf, like, you just win or you lose. Like, second place, you lose. Like, you still get paid, obviously, but, like, there's one winner.
Yeah, like, so it was sick fired up for the top 3.
Yeah, like, and that's why it was sick, like, coming down the stretch, like, people on 18 putting to, like, not win, but to make third place tie, like.
Maybe they should be giving out top 3 medals in PGA Tour. Maybe they should be thinking about.
Yeah, the medal is the bazillions of dollars you're getting for coming in third place.
Yeah, but I'm saying maybe it should be, like, hey, top 3 guys make way more than the rest of the field. So they are. There's a 3-way tie for third.
Yeah, but see, I only like that for the Olympics because I don't want any handouts. You're either a winner or you're not, unless it's in the Olympics. And then it's like,
trying to play devil's advocate.
Would there be anything cooler than to be able to hang an Olympic medal in your house one day?
No, I would 100% get the Olympic rings tattooed on me.
Oh my! I'd have them tattooed everywhere, back of my neck, both arms.
Yep.
Everywhere.
Yep.
Like Ricky Fowler has it. Sick.
So,
oh,
I don't care if I'm a janitor.
That's the dream.
If I'm a janitor for the Olympics, I'm getting the tattoo.
Zach, what? Didn't you ask that question?
What?
Zach, didn't you ask what would be cooler, to win a World Series or win an Olympic gold or something like that? What was your question? Oh,
I said, like, obviously excluding the majors, like baseball, basketball. What, like, so say Michael Phelps has however many rings. Like, how do you compare that to Michael Jordan's, like, 6 rings?
I think dominance of, like, how many people have done a similar feat. Like, Michael Phelps is the most dominant swimmer of all time, and it's not close. He's the most dominant Olympian. He's the most decorated Olympian. Tom?
Right, so, like, so say like gymnastics, like somebody wins gold. Are you saying like, does that count as like, when you're talking about the GOATs, like, well, she has, or he or she has two golds, and we're like, yeah, well, he won six rings. Like, yeah,
I think that's easy. That's an easy answer for me, because it's like, you can argue LeBron's better than MJ. Like, there is nobody you can say was as good as Michael Phelps. Like, not even, you bring up any name and it's laughable.
Yep.
Same for like Serena Williams in tennis. Like, she is clearly the GOAT.
Yeah. Correct.
Simone Biles and gymnastics, clearly, like stuff like that. That's why I just think it's a little different, because in those individual sports, it's easier to see who is like the best of all time. Like, it's not even close.
I agree.
Screen time now.
Okay.
What are you drinking? Chocolate milk?
I'm out.
I got some coffee.
It's coffee. Cold brew.
Looks like chocolate milk.
Hot. One pump of mocha in it.
Yeah, sure. Six pumps of mocha, flavored. Exactly. I'm 3 hours and 36 minutes. I don't know what you guys are doing.
What was yours?
3:36.
The whole day yesterday?
Empty cold brew, one pump of mocha. Shut up.
I'm in trouble. Zach, what'd you get?
5 hours and 10 minutes.
Damn it. 5:42.
Hmm.
Well, that's, you know what that is, Zach? Because we FaceTimed for like an hour yesterday, and that wouldn't have been on my score, even though that went to yours. It
wouldn't have been on mine either.
Yeah, that's a poor argument. Damn it.
That's episode 71 of the Compound Podcast. We'll see you next week.
Presented by Parse Rum. Rum.
When I say Parse, you say Rum Parse.
Rum. Zach doesn't even do anything. I'm so out.
You know what? I'm over it. I'm sick and tired of it. A lot of our friends.
When I was hitting the other night, somebody screamed it.
Did you get hit?
Come on.
A lot of our friends that were supposed to be guests on the podcast have all been traded, so maybe we'll find some new friends to get on the podcast. But we'll see you next week for episode 72, and go get some Parse pins.